that Jesus spoke about the centurion, and the centurion said, you know, that I'm a man under authority, and there are people that I have under my authority. He recognized authority, and Jesus commended him for that attitude toward authority. So authority is important, that, first of all, we recognize that we have it, but how we operate in it. If we know we have authority, then we are going to be bolder in functioning in that authority. Be like this woman, I like to call her the chicken lady, is when Christian Herder, who was the governor of Massachusetts in the United States, he was running hard for a second term, and he was working all day, and he didn't have breakfast, and he went right through lunch, and in the afternoon, he was really hungry, and he went to this this church, and they were having a barbecue after the church, and he was really happy about it, and he went there, and he went and got in the line where they were passing out the chicken, and he got to the place where the lady put a piece of chicken on his plate, and he was really, really hungry, so he said, could I have maybe another piece of chicken? And the lady said, no, I'm only supposed to pass out one piece of chicken. And he said, well, I'm really, really hungry, and I'd really appreciate another one. She said, no, I'm sorry. I was told just pass out one piece to one person. This senator was usually a very humble man and unassuming man, and he usually would never say anything, but he was so hungry he thought he would use his position at this particular time. So he said, lady, do you know who I am? I'm the governor of this state. And the lady said, well, I'm the one who passes out the chicken in this place. Now move on, mister. She knew her authority, didn't she? She took her place, and she knew her authority. She knew where her authority lied. You see, that's part of the most of the body of Christ has no idea that they have any authority. And when they do have an idea that they have an authority, they don't realize the position that they have or where they have that authority. You know, some people say, well, I'll just take the name of Jesus and rebuke every principality and every power everywhere I go. And they think they have the authority to do that. I don't believe they do. I think God has given them a sphere of authority, and it's important to know that. And when you know your sphere of authority, then you can take your place. That chicken lady had authority over that chicken. That's what she was dealing with. Didn't matter if the person in front of her was the governor. She had greater authority in that place. And she took her authority. Now, she could have just cringed right back and said, oh, Mr. Governor, here, I'll take three. But no, she took her authority. Now, a lot of us in the body of Christ are not taking authority. Sometimes we winch back pretty easily when the enemy comes to push against us, or when somebody tries to bring an argument against us so that we wouldn't exercise our authority. Sometimes we just humble back. We think it's humility, but really it's not. It's just usually fear. But God wants us to know our authority in Christ and to use it. Now we're going to read from Matthew chapter 28, because this is the scripture that the Lord gives us as a commission. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Do you ever wonder what that scripture meant? You know, when I read that, I think, here's the Lord. He has been he has been appearing to his disciples over a period of 50 days, and he was doing some miraculous things, and he was talking to them about the kingdom of God, and he told them to go to this certain place, and he appeared to them there, and it says they came to him, but some doubted. Why would they doubt? It's amazing. Even in the midst of so many miraculous things that happen, people still choose to doubt sometimes rather than embrace. They almost think like it puts them in a place of insecurity when they just enter in by faith and faith alone. They think that, well, I can't give my whole heart to this because what if it's wrong? What if there's something off base? When we take the word of God, we can embrace it, we can count on it, and we can make a choice to believe. Because faith really is a choice. We can choose to believe or we can choose not to believe. And here's some doubted. I still don't know the full extent of that, what that actually means or what's behind that, but we read it in Scripture. Some doubted. They worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, You see, he made a powerful statement. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Here's their leader now, who stood up amongst them and said, all authority has been given to me. So what comes after that now is extremely important, because he made a declaration that nobody else could ever make. He declared that all authority was given to him. And then he said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus made a declaration that he had all authority. Now, I love to serve somebody who has all authority. I love to be behind somebody who has all authority, because when we declare that we are becoming a disciple of the one who has all authority, that means when he calls us to do something, we walk in the authority that he has paid for, that he has obtained. So when he commissions us, he commissions us to go out and do something, but he also gives us the authority and the power to do it. And of course, he said, all authority has been given to me. Then he said, now go and make disciples. I love the way the Message translation puts verse 18 here of what Jesus said. It says, Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. He gave his charge to his disciples. God authorized and commanded me to commission you to go out and make disciples. So Jesus is saying, God has authorized me and he has commanded me to commission you. So that was a commissioning that Jesus did to his disciples at that time. Go into all the world and make disciples. Teaching them. Disciple is to emulate the one they were following. In other words, you and I are to be people that others could look to and follow after. Now, if we're disciples of Christ, it doesn't mean that the end goal for a disciple of mine is to be like me. Their end goal is to be like Christ. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, if you see in my life in some areas that I'm not following Christ, don't follow me there. But follow me as I follow Christ. And I believe every disciple, every believer of the Lord Jesus Christ should live their lives in such a way that they would know that it would do somebody else good if they took an example from your life and followed after you. Now, authority is given for a purpose. And the purpose of Jesus here, when he said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth, go and make disciples. So God gives us authority. Jesus gives us authority. And it is an order so that we might go out and make disciples. We might go out and make disciples and teach others about the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, to teach others about the things that I have taught you, and teach them to do the things that I have taught you to do. And of course, we know that if we look in Jesus' life, we would see that Jesus at different times sent out different groups of people. He sent out the 12, and then he sent out the 70 to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, and all that kind of stuff. And Jesus here is commanding us to do the same thing. He's commanding us to take our authority and use it in teaching and making disciples. So the commission was given. And I'm sure it was even questioned by the apostles and the disciples at that particular time. I'm sure some, well, we read that some doubted, but I'm sure when they heard that, I'm telling you, I have all authority, and I'm commissioning you with that authority that I have to go out and make disciples of nations. You see, it wasn't just go out and make disciples of the Jews, which that's all the apostles ever did up to that point. And Jesus ministered to the Jews. If we read scripture, we know that it took a miracle of God to get people to talk to other than Jews, to send a message to people other than Jews. And here Jesus said, go out and make disciples to all nations. And I'm sure the Jews thought, oh my goodness, what are you talking about, Jesus? They're looking at their leader. You're talking about going to the Gentile dogs, the one that we won't even eat with. You're telling us to go out and make disciples of them? That's exactly what Jesus was saying. But it would be very, very difficult because they had a cultural barrier that they were stuck in. because they believed that God was only interested in the Jews and there would be nobody else that would make it. The only way that the rest of the world could come in would be that if they became part of Judaism. They became Jews. So this must have been very difficult for the apostles even to consider at this particular time. I've noticed something. When God tells us to do something, when God speaks us to do something, it's often quite, it can be difficult to our culture, to what we want to do, to what, do we think that's really the right thing to do? There'll always be some things that come our way to try to stop us, try to hold us back. Now, one of the things that we first must understand when we look at the commission that Jesus gave us is that the authority that we have to make disciples has nothing to do with our ability to make disciples. It has nothing to do with how well we can memorize Scripture. It has nothing to do, really, with how much we pray to some degree. It has everything to do with His power coming on us in order to speak the Word to make disciples. Every one of us can do our thing when it comes to making disciples. We don't have to go away into Bible school and spend a couple of years learning the Word of God. Immediately when we're saved, we can begin on the track of making disciples, taking the authority. If we'll take the authority that Jesus said He gave us and begin speaking to other people, we can do it immediately. And if we do not do it immediately, if we think we have to wait and prepare ourselves for some time before we ever do that, then we will think that we in ourselves are actually doing this. Now, I believe it's good to study. I believe it's good to pray. I believe it's good to go to Bible school. But that doesn't qualify you necessarily in making disciples. What qualifies you is that you're a believer and you recognize that you have an authority as a believer to go out and make disciples. Now, if we really understood that and really took that to heart, we would actually be telling more people about Jesus. We'd actually be doing more in trying to connect other people with the King that we serve. If we really believed that we had authority to do that. Say this with me, Lord, help my unbelief. We need the Lord to help our unbelief when it comes to this particular area of recognizing that we have authority in Jesus. Will we use the authority that Jesus has given us? You see, the thing about it is, when we don't use our authority, in this case about telling other people about Jesus, when we don't use our authority, we'll find that we don't have authority in other areas. And we'll wonder why we don't have authority sometimes over sickness, over disease, over demonic influences. We'll wonder why. And I'm convinced the Lord's saying, well, you won't use the authority that I have given you, that I've commissioned you with to do a very specific commission. So why do you think your authority will work in another area when you're not using it for the area that I've commissioned you in? Does this make any sense at all? I believe the Lord is really speaking to us this morning. I've sensed that even before I started this morning. I felt an urgency of what the Lord wants to get across to us this morning. Let's read Acts chapter 19. I'm reading here a little bit more about authority. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call in the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise or cast out demons. We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. So here these people seen Paul cast out devils and have great success. And so they decided that they were going to do it. These seven sons of Sceva in verse 14. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish high priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Now here are some people who were doing things because they seen somebody else do it. You ever try that? You ever try doing something because you seen somebody else do it? It didn't quite work out the same. I'll put both my hands up. Yeah, that happens. We do that sometimes. We think we've got it because we've seen somebody else do it. We step out and try to do the same thing, and sometimes it doesn't work just the same way. I'm not saying that we should never do that. I'm thinking we can learn. We usually always learn when we do things, but when it comes to authority, we cannot get that authority by doing the same thing that somebody else who has the authority has done. You see, there's a difference. Now we have to ask that question. Where did Paul, the apostle, get that authority to cast out devils? And the sons of Sceva didn't. In those days, there were Jewish exorcists. There were people who would go out and try to do things and make things happen. And sometimes it would at least appear that they've had some kind of success. It's kind of like the New Age people and the psychic lines and things like that. There's all kinds of people out there trying to do some things and making a connection with the spirit realm. And these Jewish people were really like that, these seven sons of Sceva. And they were trying to do something they seen the Apostle Paul do, because obviously Paul had more success than they had. But the question is, where did Paul get this authority? This authority that the sons of Sceva thought they could exercise. Where did Paul get it? Let me read a little story to you. Queen Victoria, many years ago, the queen and her husband, Prince Albert, quarreled about something early in their marriage. Albert walked out of the room and went into his study, and she followed him. And as she followed him, she got to the door. She found the door was locked, and she pounded on the door. Albert said, "Who's there?" And Victoria said, "It's the Queen of England. Open this door." Everything went right silent. Quiet. After a while, she went. Albert says, "Who's there?" Victoria says, "It's Victoria, your wife." And Albert opened the door to her. Now, this little story tells us he connected out of relationship to one another. Not as the Queen of England, but as Albert's wife. She was trying to exercise authority over her husband because she was the Queen of England. And that didn't work, did it? Think of all the authority that she would have as the Queen of England. It doesn't work over her husband. But when she identified herself as his wife, he then immediately thought, "I want to keep that relationship. That relationship is important to me. That relationship is personal to me. I want to exercise a liberty to open the door to her so that we can continue this relationship." You see, this is the difference with the Apostle Paul and the sons of Sceva. The sons of Sceva wanted the power. They were interested in the power to be able to cast out demons. But the Apostle Paul was first and foremost interested in the relationship that he had with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he cultivated that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He would take times to pray and meditate on the things of God. That's where he got his authority. It wasn't a positional authority, it was a relational authority. And you and I, sometimes we feel weak in authority, and it's often because we haven't taken time to cultivate the relationship that we need so much to have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Cultivating relationship really gives us a confidence that the authority of the one that we're in relationship, that we are in relationship with, is available to us. But we can only know that and have boldness as we cultivate that relationship. Otherwise, it's only positional. It's only positional. We must know where our authority comes from. I'll share it with you a little bit more in a few minutes, but I want to show you a clip right now. I want to show you a clip that really speaks to us about authority and how we can be, how things get slipped up when it comes to authority. How we can be deceived when it comes to authority. So just want to play that video, Rob, and we'll...
The setting, a farmer's market in Columbus, New Jersey. Inside, a woman shopping for produce with her baby. She's under surveillance by this man. He stays outside hoping the woman won't spot him. He solicits help from random shoppers.
Ma'am, excuse me. I'm a recovery agent.
He tells him he's a recovery agent, a fancy term for bounty hunter. And he needs help capturing the woman inside.
Let me show you a picture. Hold on. I'm trying to ID somebody inside there with a blue jacket. Do you see the woman I'm talking about?
And shoppers seem to want to help.
Yeah. Have you ever used handcuffs?
No. I'd sooner grab her and put her down.
The bounty hunter needs positive ID and asks a shopper to take the wallet from the woman inside.
If she walks away from that carriage and you see the wallet, just pick it up and walk it out to me, okay?
You're a cop, so I'm not going to get in trouble?
Let me show you. Come over here.
Okay.
All right.
This is what our bounty hunter flashes, a badge we bought online, no questions asked, and it offers no legal authority. The bounty hunter, his name is George, and he agreed to ask people to do things he normally wouldn't. The woman inside, she's Tracy, an actress playing the role of a mother who may have kidnapped her baby from the father. Will the shopper follow the command of an authority figure and actually take Tracy's wallet? She goes inside the fruit stand, and when Tracy turns her back, she swipes her wallet and brings it back to the man with the badge. Now, why in the world would anyone follow the orders of a stranger?
I said, I'll take her down. I'll just throw her down.
What's the lesson? Did you learn something here?
Yeah. The bad lesson is, show me a badge.
Now, do you notice how that individual felt that there was somebody with authority giving her direction? And she thought that she actually had authority. She thought she had authority, but she didn't really have any, did she? Why? Because the one who claimed to have given her authority didn't have any authority to give. Now, here we have the seven sons of Sceva. They thought the authority was merely in the name of Jesus. So they took the name of Jesus and they went against these demonic forces that were in an individual. And of course, we know what happened. They were beaten up because they didn't really have the authority. They didn't have the relational authority. They only thought they had authority because they could recite the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It gives us a good indication of how important relationship is and knowing where we got the authority. It'd be a real downer for us to go into an experience of trying to deal with some demonic forces sometimes and begin to speak the name of Jesus and suddenly realize then that the person who claimed that they gave me authority didn't have any authority to give. You see, this is what happens with the people in New Age movement when they begin to speak over people or when they begin to try to make things happen in the supernatural. Let's give you one demonstration of this. Some of you would know who I mean by Bibbins, and she was a lady that was involved in the occult at one time very deeply. And one of the ways that she got involved in the occult was that she was a very lonely individual as a young teenager, and she went to a friend's house who was actually, her mother was a witch. And she would be able to do some things, making objects move and things like that. And so got to the point where she could actually do that herself, that she could make objects move. And she thought, wow, this is cool. I've got this power. This is my power. I can make it happen. And once she came into the kingdom of God, or pardon me, I should hold back that little bit because it was before she came into the kingdom of God that she realized this. But she suddenly realized from one form or another that they were actually demonic forces that were moving the objects. It wasn't her power at all. It was another power that was actually moving the objects, and she didn't have any authority at all. All she was doing is being manipulated by demonic forces. And you see, that's what happens with a lot of people who are involved in the occult, involved in witchcraft, involved in things of the spirit that is not through the Lord Jesus Christ. They think they are gaining some things through a power that they think they have. That's one of the primary aspects of understanding the occult, is realizing that the occult practitioners actually believe that they have the power. But you see, in Christendom, you and I don't look at things that way. We recognize that it's the Lord Jesus Christ that has the power, and we are merely conduits of what the Lord can work through us in order to cause the power to be released. In other words, Jesus is the one that administers the power through you and I as believers. In other words, we must be connected to Him. We can't do it on our own. We must be connected to the source of the power if we are going to see results. Where did Paul get this authority? Where does Paul get this authority that he walked in so gracefully? Let me read to you a few scriptures that speaks to us about the source of Paul's authority. Matthew 26, verse 28 says, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." So now we're talking about a covenant relationship. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all have the similar statement. Mark 14, 24, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many." Luke 22, 20, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Romans 11, 27, "For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins." The Apostle Paul knew who he was in covenant with. It was that covenant that he was connected with, the one who said, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me." It was that covenant relationship that caused Paul to be so bold in casting out demons and walking in the power of God. This week, Debbie and I had lunch with Clive Pick, who is an international speaker, and we were talking about what was happening in the world today and about things that were happening in September, for instance. And of course, we've heard many, many reports about things that were going to happen in September, things that really are quite mind-boggling when it comes to some of the predictions that many prophetic voices are making today. And I don't know how clearly they really are of God or not, I'm not sure, but there's a lot of things, and you know, John Hagee is one person that says a lot of things are going to happen because of the blood moons that are happening toward the end of the month. There's so many aspects of this that there's a lot of things that we don't know about, but one of the things that we do know, that our safety net is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was talking about, Clive was mentioned covenant. He was talking something a little bit about covenant and how important it was for you and I to recognize our position in the covenant that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ as we go through this time in September. And when he said that, I felt the Lord speak to me and say that he wanted us to have the covenant meal each Sunday in the month of September. You see, by doing so, I believe we are actively pulling to the forefront the understanding of what it means to be in covenant relationship. And I believe that when things come forward and the end time revelation begins to take place, when the end time activities begin to happen, that our safety net is going to be found in our position in the covenant that we have with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to make much of the covenant. We want to be sure that we understand our position within the covenant. And if I had time, we'd talk a bit about the covenant of Abraham and the covenant of blessing that Jesus brought forward. But we'll probably leave that for another day because the time is pretty much running out. But I do want us to have an understanding of where our safety lies. It lies in the covenant relationship with Jesus. It lies in the covenant that we have with Jesus. Now, the scripture says that the scepter of the kingdom of God is the scepter of, who can tell me? Righteousness. The scepter of the kingdom of God is the scepter of righteousness. We find that in the book of Hebrews. Now, the scepter of righteousness, when it is held out, speaks to us is that there is an authority that is being shown when you hold out a scepter. Now, that woman in this video, she looked at a badge, and she looked at it real quickly. And he held out something to show her the authority that he had. But it was false, wasn't it? Now, you and I, when we come into spiritual experiences, when we come against some things in life, it might be demonic, it might be sickness, it might be disease, it might be oppression, it might be depression, it might be all of those things. The things that you and I have to understand is that when we hold out the scepter of righteousness, we are actually then walking in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do we hold out the scepter of righteousness? We hold out the scepter of righteousness by right living. Living according to the righteous standard of God. Now that means simply this. If I'm going home at night, and whenever the house is real quiet, and I can find myself alone, and I can get on the computer and begin to watch some pornographic stuff on the internet or watch some things that I shouldn't watch and gets me caught up in some kind of a perversion. And then I come out of that and I meet some kind of a person who has some kind of devil in them. It might be a devil of lust or it might be a devil of sexual perversion of some sort. And I try to go against that. That demonic forces knows that I haven't been living right. I have no authority there. I cannot even speak to that thing and expect it to respond. Doesn't matter how much I say the Lord Jesus Christ, because I have not been holding out the scepter of righteousness. So that the demonic force is not even seeing that I have any power, that I have any authority, because my scepter has been polluted. It's not been held out. But when I'm living right, that when I'm cultivating right relationship with God and with one another, then I can be confident that I have the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ behind me, because I'm living according to the scepter of the kingdom of God. And I'm convinced that in these days that we're going into, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has to maintain a standard of righteousness, a standard of righteousness, so that the scepter of righteousness can be held out. Because every time that we come up against something demonic, something of the demonic realm, we have to be able to hold out the scepter of righteousness. Or else we'll be defeated, we'll be caught in a mess. You see, that scepter of righteousness really is our badge in the spiritual realm, our badge of authority. Now you might say, well, Pastor, I don't do everything right. I know, you know, there's some things where I miss it. We all do that. That's not what I'm talking about. The righteousness that we hold out is the righteousness that comes from Jesus. But we can't claim to have the righteousness on our lives if we are caught up in practicing something that is unrighteous. There's a conflict there. We choose whose scepter we're going to hold out to the world and the people that we're dealing with. When we hold out the scepter of righteousness, then we are connected. We have our proper connection, our covenant connection. Well, I need to stop there because we need to go into our time of having communion. And we want to make this a very special time of recognizing the relationship, the communion relationship that we have. So as we prepare for communion this morning, I want us to think about our covenant connection. And I want you to think about it in light even of the days ahead, in light of being properly connected with the one who said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. You see, I believe that when it comes to the end time movements of God, that there are some people who are going to go through that and they're going to be a powerhouse for God. There really are. There's going to be some Christians that are going to go through that, and they're going to be a powerhouse from God. In other words, that they will be walking in righteousness. They'll be holding out that badge of righteousness, and whatever the enemy throws at them will not stick. I also believe that there'll be many Christians who will have their badge so cluttered up with unrighteous deeds and acts, wrong attitudes, hard issues that have never been dealt with, that when the enemy throws something at them, it's going to hurt? Are we going to be holding out our clean badge of righteousness, or are we going to allow the pollution of this world? And I want you to know, there's going to be all kinds of things that the world is going to try to throw at us in order for us to compromise our belief system. It's happening already, and many have already fell to it. Many have already taken a different stand where 20 years ago they would wholeheartedly spoke against certain things that are happening today, where today they're taking a light attitude toward some of these things. We have to make a stand which way we're going to go. This is kind of a sobering message this morning, because I believe that the Lord wants us to think soberly in these end times, but also to rejoice. To rejoice in who we are connected with. Stand with me, please.